Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by the one and only Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk. This is how you get in touch with us, 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. The Giants and Eagles getting ready for a good old-fashioned Turnpike NFC East showdown on Sunday, 1 o'clock at Giants Stadium. At MetLife Stadium. Giants coming off the bye. This, believe it or not, the third straight week that the Philadelphia Eagles are playing a team coming off their bye, Jeff. And it is very hard to downplay the importance of this game for both teams. They're both sitting two games behind the Cowboys at 4-3 in the division. The Eagles are 0-2 in the NFC East. The Giants are 1-1. And whichever team comes out with a loss on Sunday is going to be pretty hard-pressed to win the division. Now, is the wild card still in play?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you figure Dallas is going to beat Cleveland, which means you'll be three back and you'll be under 500 in the division. That's a pretty big mountain to climb.
And when you look at the whole NFC East, obviously on it's not that great. You know, with, you got Dallas up there, but
every team over 500 though in the division this year,
which is amazing because we all were thinking that this division was just not going to be that great this year,
right?
You know, coming into it, but I think more importantly, it's probably the division record that's going to, because if the Cowboys continue to do what they do, I don't think they're going to just by me. I just do not think that they're going to keep this up.
Well, I don't think they're going to finish 15-1 or 14-2.
I think
they'll finish it with 11 or 12 though.
I feel like the Cowboys don't know how to handle success very well. And I just think something will go south on that.
That does tend to happen.
You know what I mean?
That's correct.
But more important, like you said, this game is very, very important for the Giants. You know, a win will put them right smack dab in second place and with Washington and Philly right below them. But must win. And I think that we look at this game, we got three games in a row at home. You got to win all three of these games at home. You're supposed to win all your games at home anyways. And then you've got a Cleveland team that everybody seems to be there. That's their redheaded stepchild of the NFL, know that you're going to go get a win there, but you never know in the NFL. Hey, watch the Browns go up and watch them beat Dallas this week. You watch.
Possible.
Hey, listen, it's the NFL.
They're at home. You never know.
And you never know. But like you said, John, this is a big game. Big game for the Giants. And, you know, how about if you're the Eagles going against three teams in a row that are coming off byes? I mean, that's not very fair.
And they've lost three out of four. They've lost two straight. So this is a game that they really need.
And I think that the Eagles with Wentz, and John and I were talking about this earlier, is that, you know, teams in the NFL, these coaches are very, very smart. It's a lot of times like when a quarterback comes in for an injured starter, the first couple weeks he does very well until the defensive coordinators can figure out how to game plan around these quarterbacks. You're seeing a little bit of that going on now with Carson Wentz after, you know, going into the middle of the season. The first four or five games, this team was good, and now they've kind of struggled a little bit. The one I saw a statistic on our stats that we get that really stood out to me. You know, the first five games, Carson Wentz was throwing the ball down the field. Very good. First five games, 18 completions and 32 attempts of over 15 yards. And then in the last two games, they are 0-6. They've only thrown the ball 15 yards down the field six times with zero completions. That tells me that this is the dink and dunk.
Right.
You know, and that they don't have a lot of confidence in their receivers. I'm not saying a lot of confidence in Wentz because I believe that they do, but their receivers drop a lot of football.
Nelson Agholor drops balls. Doyle Green Beckham drops balls. And just a couple numbers to add to them that you just gave, which is a good one, Jeff. Right now the Eagles have just 20 plays of 20 or more yards in the NFL this year. That is second fewest. Now, it's a West Coast offense. It's not designed to have big plays down the field, but still that is a very, very low number. Only the 49ers have fewer plays of 20 yards or more. And the other number I want to give you is Carson Wentz has not completed a pass that has traveled 15 or more yards in the air over his last two games.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Very poor.
Yeah. In fact,
0-6.
0-6, yeah.
With an interception and passes that have traveled in the air for 15 or more yards. Now, maybe he's had a dump off and Darren Sproles a run for 15 yards. But, again, that is in terms of throwing the ball down the field. And I think it gets to a bigger theme here, Jeff, in that when you look at this game, I think the two strongest units that are going to be on the field on Sunday are going to be these two defenses.
Correct.
And I think when you look at just for the feel of this game and how it's going to go, this game to me is a game that's going to be determined by a few different things. One, field position.
Yep.
Because I don't think either offense is going to move the ball consistently. So the shorter the field they have, the better chance they have of getting points, whether a field goal or a touchdown. Number two, turnovers. That's going to be something that can move this game one way or the other big time. The Eagles have the sixth most takeaways in the league, and the Giants have the third most giveaways. Mm-hmm. So that's something that the Giants cannot allow to happen if they want to win this game.
The Eagles have had a turnover and that takeaway in every game this year. So they're pretty good at that.
And they have slowed down the last couple of weeks. But again, they're very opportunistic. Malcolm Jenkins, one of the best safeties in football. And this is the final thing. The Giants have to, and the Eagles on their side of the ball as well, who wins the battle of the line of scrimmage in this game? Because I don't think either team has an offensive line that I would consider the strength of their roster. The Eagles, maybe they had it, but now they have a lot of injuries.
They don't run the ball well.
Lane Johnson is suspended. The Eagles are 20th in the league in rushing. The Giants are last in the league in rushing. Neither team runs the ball consistently. It got to the point last week where Darren Sproles, all 190 pounds of him, if he's even that, was the primary running back for the Eagles. And then which offensive line can not just run the ball, Jeff, but protect their quarterback? And one of the big numbers in this game are sacks. Eli Manning has not been sacked a lot this year, but the pass rush has affected him. That's the same way, folks, when we talk about the Giants' defensive line. Yeah, the sacks aren't there, but they are starting at least to influence the other quarterback. You see it on the Giants' side. Eli Manning, I think, has been sacked the third fewest times in the league, but you see how the pass rush affects him in the way he plays. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles have an excellent defensive front. Connor Barwin, 3 sacks. Fletcher Cox, 4 sacks. Brandon Graham, 4 sacks. We saw Brandon Graham beat Tyron Smith for a sack last week. He's a good pass rusher.
They get after it.
So which front can win, or at least offensive line-wise, hold their own in this game? Because I think both defensive lines have a big advantage over the other team's offensive line.
And I think when you look at experience, obviously you're going with Eli Manning and Carson Wentz with pressure.
Right.
We know how Eli responds to pressure in the pocket. Not very well at times.
Especially when it's coming with four-man rushes
and there's
a lot of guys in coverage.
And so Wentz, being a young guy, even though the Giants are not getting, like you said, are not getting sacks, they're getting pressure on the quarterback, which sometimes can lead to problems, interceptions, things like that.
And Wentz can run, by the way. He can scramble.
And he got a little bit outside. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Sproles and the Giants the Giants are not very good defensively on outside runs and sealing edges, things like that. So that's where Sproles comes into it. I feel like they want to be able to get Sproles 15 touches in this game running the football. I think he's becoming their primary running back. Maybe not on paper, but I think from what we saw last week, I think Matthews is their guy. But, you know, really, how can you not get the ball into Sproles' hands if he's being effective with it? I think what's going to happen here, and you made a good point, I think field position, both these teams don't run the football well. They both like the dink and dunk, though. They like to throw that, you know, we always say that extension of that running game is a short passing game.
Absolutely.
Both these teams do that. The key here defensively for the Giants is get the Eagles in some third downs, that they're unmanageable third downs. Okay, if the Giants are in those situations, which they have been in a lot, the two punters are going to be very important in this game, flipping the field. Now, when you flip the field, and if you get some drives in there that you can get into the red zone, you start to have problems, because we know that the Giants are horrible in the red zone. They are the 29th ranked offense in the National Football League in the red zone. The Philadelphia defense is 4th in the league in defending the red zone. So points are at a premium for the Giants this week.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, they have not been a premium for the team going all the way through the year up to this point. They're not scoring any points. So you're going to put a lot of pressure on the Giants defense to get some turnovers and to get some of that field position. And if you can't put touchdowns in, at least get some field goals out of this. I see this being a very, very close game. All division games usually are. One statistic I looked at, and John and I, we get these stats and we start to look through them as the week goes along. 2012, the last time the Giants have beat the Eagles at home. That is a long time ago.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw out some more statistics that probably aren't going to make Giant fans very happy. The one good one is that overall in the series history, the Giants are 4 games over 500 if you include the playoffs, which the teams are 2-2 against each other.
And that's going back how many games?
Back in, I think, the 60s, obviously.
89
84, 80-2.
Yeah.
But recently, not too good.
No.
Phillies won 4 straight. The last time the Giants beat Philly was back in October of 2013. The Eagles have won 13 of the last 16 games against the New York Giants. And dating back to the start of 2008, the Eagles are 8-1 when they play in East Rutherford, New Jersey, whether in Giants Stadium or MetLife Stadium.
Those are successful trips down the turnpike.
And the thing you don't like is that Tom Coughlin's a common thread there, but the Eagles had Andy Reid and they had Chip Kelly. So they did have change head coaches, and you hope maybe with both teams having first-year head coaches this year, and Doug Peterson and Ben McAdoo, maybe that can change this year and the Giants can get off and really start putting their stamp on this Eagles rivalry where, frankly, they've been dominated over the past 6 years or so.
Yeah, and I you know, why? You know, and really, you know, to go back to our prior point to find, you know, how the Giants are going to win this game, we failed to mention, and we usually do, because nobody cares about this. We did mention the punters. But the special teams on both the Giants and the Eagles are pretty good.
Eagles' kick return is the best in the
best
league. Now,
the
we know Josh Huff's not there anymore because of his stupidity, but Smallwood already has a kick return for a touchdown. And last week they had a big return against Dallas. They are extremely dangerous in terms of their kick return.
And Barner will be back there for them too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the Giants, they cover the ball well on kickoffs. And I will tell you a little bit about Robbie Gould. He doesn't have the strongest leg in the world. So this Giants team is going to have to get prepared to start covering some kickoffs.
Yep.
And this is not the week to start that, I guess, because they're very good at it.
And then you have Darren Sproles as their punt returner, obviously. He's very dangerous. But Brad Wing has done a fantastic
job. He's done a great job. He's going to have to continue to do a good job this week at trying to, you know, make him run all over the place, kick it out of bounds, get good direction with the football on special teams. You know, both these teams do not start off games well. So maybe a big play in the first quarter by either one of these teams could be the key to winning this football game, and hopefully it's the Giants can go on a first drive touchdown would be amazing.
Well,
to
Jeff,
me.
You said it, and I think getting a lead in this game is going to be pretty important, and the amazing thing is that these two teams have combined for three first-quarter touchdowns this year. The Giants have two, the Eagles have one, and two of those Giants touchdowns came in one game. So in six out of the seven games this year for the Giants, they have not scored a touchdown in the first quarter. So needless to say, I think given the strength of these defenses, Jeff, if you can get a lead in this game, I think it's going to be very useful. Because if you're Philly, the last thing you want is for Carson Wentz to have to go out there slinging around and try to make up a 10-14-point deficit. That's not a good formula for them. Remember, Wentz has been good for a rookie. The Eagles' offense is still ranked 28th in the league in terms of yards.
Exactly.
So they do not have an explosive offense.
Sure.
Wentz has been good, but he's still not, you know.
Yeah, he's still got his training wheels on.
Ben Roethlisberger, he's not that yet. You know, and obviously the Giants' offense, we all know, have had their issues as well. The one thing I want to ask you, Jeff, before we get to the calls at 201-939-4513, what changes do you think this offense could have made during the bye week that can make a difference and really get it cooking here for the second half of the year?
Well, I think collectively, we all know that number one, scoring is okay. So what I'm going to go ahead and go into the red zone first.
So it'd be good if the Giants scored more points.
It would be.
That's why we pay you for the big time analysis,
exactly.
Jeff Eagles.
But my point is that when they get into the red zone, to me, the red zone is a big problem, and that's because of the tight end play and the ineffectiveness to run the football. So what can they fix? I think if you can try to. You know, in just so you know, from a player's perspective, what goes on in a bye week, and I don't know who the other guys have been in here this week. They probably talked a little bit about it, but you know, it's basically a self scout the bye week. You go in and you try to figure out what we can do better and where our weaknesses are. And offensively, they're going to concentrate on that running game. It all comes down to one-on-one matchups with the offensive line in the run game. Get on a hat on a hat and start creating some holes for these running backs and better blocking. Is it the running backs? Yes, it's the running backs. It's the I think some of it's the play calling. I think some of it is the offensive line. But collectively, you get together and you say, okay, guys, how can we improve this? And whether it's getting Paul Perkins in the lineup, getting him some more touches, certainly he's got the best speed out of all those guys. Is it a little bit more outside runs rather than runs in the middle? But I think if the Giants can effectively improve the running game, it'll improve their red zone. And I think if Adams, the tight end, may be able to get some more reps in here and give him a little more playing time to see what he can do. He's very athletic. He gets up and down the field very well. So those are some of the things. The other one is on third down. I think that the Giants can improve on third downs. They're not very good at it. And all this stuff will get the offense going. But more importantly, you know, to be, like you said, why they pay me the big bucks to be an analyst is that they have to score more points. If you think that the Giants are going to go through this season averaging what they are running the football in late November and December, you're fooling yourself.
Are they capable of running the football better? Because we've seen these struggles for the last two or three years now, barring a small stretch at the end of last season.
I think they're capable if they're willing to change the philosophy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they're going to do that or not, I don't know. Because I think that they have some young talent. I don't know what happened with Darkwa. He is just kind of – he's been the dark horse. We haven't seen him very often anymore. Obviously, Jennings got healthy a little bit, but – I think they can. I think that some of the philosophy in their run game, maybe some different techniques, some different scheme, will help. And I think that you will see it, because if you don't, then there's something wrong. Because obviously what they've been doing is not working, and you're going to have to go and fix it. And this is a good week to fix it. The Eagles are not a good rush defense team. They give up over 100 and something, 414 yards a game rushing. So if there's a week to get this running game going, it certainly could be this week.
I got a Twitter question before I get to the calls. I want to start here first. This is from Davin Anderson at DabesT247.
All right.
How is it the Green Chickens, I assume he means the Eagles, have maintained a superior defense and special teams through three different coaching regimes? That's a good question.
I think it's a really good question. I think that on the special team side of it, I think that what they carry over from one coaching staff to the other is how they play special teams. Their philosophies have remained the same.
And what's that?
They have good returners. They've got really good returners, and they've got good specialists. Everything else aside, you got to cover kicks and you got to tackle, but you have the specialists that are involved in special teams, and that's guys that can, kick off well. You can directional kick. You got good returners, set up in good positions, field position for you. So I think that, special teams is all about scheme. And if you have coaches that can scheme well, you can continue to do that. Now, defensively, I think the players, they take their job serious. I'm not saying that these guys don't, but I think that they get some good players down there, and that the defensive line coaches are, working with what they got, and they have good talent. The linebackers also for the Eagles have been pretty good over the years too.
Yes, and the defensive line for sure. And, talented players will play well.
They will.
Under different regimes.
Yeah. And, a lot of times that comes down to, this is league-wide, is drafting these players and their analysis and all the work that they do when it goes into drafting these guys. It's not a perfect science, but some teams benefit from the draft, and guys that they draft, they're good, and they stay there.
All right, let's go to the calls at 201-939-4513. Rudy is in New York. He's going to lead us off here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Rudy, how are you, pal?
Hi, Rudy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well,
what's
Rudy.
Happening?
How are you?
Good, good. Happy to give you guys a call. I don't get to call often, but I'm always happy to give you guys a call.
Hey, good to hear from you.
So I have a couple of quick points. I don't want to hold you too long, but I do have a couple of quick points.
Go ahead. That's fine.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, man. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Sorry. I've been listening to the show past couple of days, and I've been watching the Giants, and a lot of callers are worried about a lot of different things, which, obviously, offense is not doing as great as they should, and defense has some holes, so on and so forth. And a lot of people also complain about, the play calling. We have to keep in mind that, one, Ben McAdoo, this is his first time being a head coach.
Yep.
He has a lot on his plate. He's, he's kind of getting acclimated to, one, how to be a head coach in the NFL. And, he was an offensive coordinator for 2 years. He's used to calling the plays, calling the shots. He probably feels the pressure of, let me, call the plays. If it all goes wrong, it falls on me as the head coach, as opposed to someone else taking the reins. And if all goes wrong, it falls on them and him. You know what I mean? I don't know what his thought process on that is, but I just feel like, we're cutting him, we're attacking him a little too quickly. Like, we got to give him a chance as a young coach. It was my first thought. I was going to call about the running backs, but I think that's been kind of, it's like beating a dead horse. So, but my biggest worry, I think, with the Philly game is, and tell me if I'm wrong here, I think obviously we have to work on offense and defense and so on, but I think one of the biggest things, and I didn't hear the beginning of the show, I was in a meeting, but I think one of the biggest things that's going to play a big part of in this game is our special teams and our field goals. Now, without Josh Brown, You know, I'm not sure if I'm confident in Robbie Gould. I mean, you can kind of, you know, let me know how you guys feel about that. No, I think he already missed a field goal for us.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. Okay. So I'm thinking of
the
wrong thing.
He only kicked one.
Yeah, you know what? I bet you're thinking about the man who stepped in for Josh Brown the first week. He missed a field goal, but not Gold.
Ah, right.
Yes.
Okay, yes. You're right. Bullock. I apologize. But I don't know how good and how reliable he is. I know he's an older kid, but he did get dropped, right?
The reason he was dropped, though, Rudy, was because of his power on his kickoffs, not because of his accuracy on his field goals.
Got it. Okay.
Which is why. I mentioned they're going to have to be able to, these guys are going to have to be able to get ready to cover because he doesn't have the strongest leg in the world.
Right.
And that's my worry now. It's the special teams. We need to be able to, you know, stop them because they're dangerous.
Yeah.
They're dangerous with, especially with, if Sproles is, you know, receiving, it's going to be tough to stop them. And we already know how when Deshaun was back there, and that's a nightmare for us already. And granted, he's not on that team anymore, but I always have nightmares when it comes to the Eagles and kickoffs or punts and so on and so forth. So, for me, it's the special teams, and I think that's going to – if we can get good field position and, you know, stop them early, I think that's going to be a real big key for a win in this game.
And special teams is the biggest amount of yardage. On offense, defense, special teams.
And thanks for the call.
The biggest chunk of yardage comes on special teams. And when you're talking about a close fit, nice game, you're going to have to take advantage of field position. And when you look at these two special teams, they both got good punters, good kickers. I think the Eagle kicker is better, you know, as far as younger than Robbie Gould. But Robbie Gould can knock you through a 45-yard field. I'm not worried about that.
And in clutch situations, too. He's done it before.
Absolutely. You know, there's no substitute for experience, and he's got it. So I'm not worried about that. What I am worried about is giving up some big returns and some chunks of yardage on some of the cover teams. The Giants just going to have to pay a little bit more attention to, a little bit more scheming on how to keep the ball out of those guys' hands. Because the Eagles, they return to football. Their average starting position is over the 30-yard line. I believe it's the 30-something. I got it in here. But it's high. And they're bringing it out.
Yes, they are. Absolutely. All right, folks, we have a couple open lines here. I know a lot of you guys say it's always busy. We can't get in. The time is now. If you want to get in, we have a couple open lines for you, 201-939-4513. And we'll hit Twitter as well as we move forward. I see a couple questions that have popped up that I like. Let's go to Len in Maryland. He's up next. Len, I haven't talked to you for what I feel like is like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
probably right on.
How are you?
You're probably one of the more popular hosts, John. When you're on, the phone calls seem to be flowing in.
Sure.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm not sure if it's true, but I appreciate it.
You're breaking it down pretty well today.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on out there. People are maybe, you know, they're at lunch or something. I don't know. They change your lunch schedule up. So.
Well, I mean, you know, it's an understatement to say big game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, rivalry game. And nothing better than beating the Eagles. They're at the top of my list. You know, Sean, maybe I got the Red Sox and Bruins and Celtics, but the Eagles are right there after those.
I hear you.
Yeah. So it should be a good one. It's going to be a beautiful day, and I think it's going to be a terrific football game. And I hope at the end it's a nice ride back down the turnpike for Giants fans, including me. Jeff, just a you know, quick comment. I heard you say that you thought that you know, the Giants were going to change things up, that philosophy, scheme, a couple of those things were going to change. And I know you don't want to give away things during your press conference, but I thought I heard Coach say yesterday that he wasn't going to deviate from what they were doing.
Well,
again, you don't want to give it away in a press conference. That what he was going to do was try to get, and I think the word acclimate was used, he was going to try to acclimate some different players into the game. Maybe some of the draft choices who haven't had as much time.
Well, Len, I'll put it this way for you. Even during a bye week and you have the extra time, You can't change your philosophy. Your philosophy and your system has to remain the same. You can't make that big of a change at the bye, but you can do some of the things like you just mentioned. You can adjust player usage. You can adjust play patterns, the type of plays you call in certain situations. You take some plays out of the playbook and maybe add a couple into the playbook. But you can't make the type of wholesale situations, and I think that's what Ben McAdoo meant when he said that.
And I certainly was not.
I agree with that. I think that's the direction you go, and maybe you try to acclimate some of the younger players. You get them in, you know, situational plays. Let me point out a play that it was after it happened, as fans usually do, that I gave some thought to. You know, there was a play in the Rams game down in the end zone. I think we were in the red zone, and you know, we threw a pass into the end zone to Shepard, and there was a young guy, 5'9", 175. Pound cornerback on the Rams, who's probably just hanging on by a thread to his job, and he made a nice play on Shepard. Now I know Shepard's got some hops too, but I got to thinking in that play, if that's Roger Lewis, John and Jeff, it's a touchdown. I mean, it's a touchdown. I mean, you get the matchups. Well, even shakes.
You have seen Roger Lewis in the game a little bit more.
The fact that. Maybe that's a spot for somebody like Larry Donnell. If you can isolate him inside the 20, throw the ball up in the air, not down the middle. I know he scored a couple of touchdowns down the seam. But if we can get those mismatches on the outside, Donnell is going to outjump that 5'9 cornerback. Lewis is going to – I mean, that was a touchdown if it was Lewis.
Well, remember, Roger Lewis isn't 6'5 either. He's like 6'1. It's not like he, you know, is towering over the other giant wide receivers.
Yeah. But I think that's a better matchup in that particular situation. And I think Lewis may – I think he may get shots like that this week. I think that's the kind of acclimation that, you know, coach is talking about. And I think that's going to be for the better.
Here, Len, you know what? I agree. I think we'll see more young players. But I have a hard time believing they're going to take Cruz, Beckham, and Shepard off the field when they probably think that those three guys are their three best skill position players on offense. It's hard to take those guys off the field.
I agree with that. I was just talking to situational play. Certain situations, Sean, when
you
try to get this guy on the field, and other of the young players out on the field as well.
No, I hear you.
Well, you can go four wide.
Hey, in any event, you know, John, as I ask every year for the last couple times a year for every 5 years, you know, I'm going to ask you, John, is Eli playing?
Yep, and the Eagles are playing a rookie quarterback.
We got a shot.
Yeah,
we got a shot.
Absolutely.
We got a good one. We got a good one. Hey, let's go Giants.
Thank you, Len.
Hopefully we get a win here, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call.
Got it. I'm telling you, I think this is going to be – this is not going to be an aesthetically pleasing football game. The fans that think it's going to be like, you know, airing it out, a lot of scores, points are going to be precious on Sunday. They're going to be hard to come by. And whenever you can get any points on the board, it's going to be a big deal. I think this, Jeff, is going to be a defensive-dominated game. That's just me. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I think it's going to be a defensive-oriented game.
I have a funny feeling that the Giants are going to run the football better, let's just say better than they have.
And that is the one way, by the way, you can get to this Eagles defense. They're 8th in total defense, 4th in points allowed, 5th against the pass, but they're 20th against the run. I think they allow 4.7 yards per carry against them. Yeah. So if you are going to get to them with that wide 9, when you put the tackles out wide, it's by running the ball. The Giants just haven't been able to do that this year.
And they've been working on it.
Oh, they're trying.
So I think this is, like I said, this is a good week to be able to go against an opponent that doesn't play the run very well and to try to get a little bit of a B12 shot in you to try to get your running game going. This is the week to do it. And I think that, you know, this Giants team wants to try to run the football. They have to. They have to continue to. And when I said about philosophy, I didn't mean about the whole philosophy of the offense. What I meant, but the philosophy in the running game, as far as like just certain things that we need to get better at, is if we're doing this type of technique on a blocking, let's try to maybe change it and say, okay, you know what, we're not going to do that in this situation. We're going to do something else. Something's got to work eventually. If it doesn't, this team's in trouble if they can't run the football.
Absolutely.
And especially in a game like this, if it's going to be a close game in the fourth quarter when we go to that four-minute offense and you cannot run the football and you're going to give the opposing team the ball back with 4 minutes, this team has done a nice job this season about winning close games where they couldn't do that last year. They've been in every one of these games this season, and they've come away with wins in close games. The Giants are not getting blown out at all. But all I'm saying is that the offense can get a better running game in the four-minute offense. They have a chance to win in that game.
One other thing I want to mention before we get back to the calls, and now we have a full four-bank line of calls, by
the
way.
It was all marketing.
Good job, guys. to me, this, and I mentioned this on Tuesday when I was on with Lance, this is going to be the biggest test for the Giants' offensive tackles since they played the Packers and Vikings.
Yes.
The Eagles, as I mentioned a few seconds ago, their wide nine is designed to put your offensive tackles out on an island. Now, you can still help with the tight end or help with the running back chipping, but you're not going to get help from the guards when they're that wide. So they are going to get, whether it's Newhouse or Hart, whomever's at right tackle, my guess is still going to be Hart because I think he's played well enough to keep the job, and they'll work Newhouse back in slowly. But I don't know if that's the case or not.
And he'll be on Barwin.
Right, and you have Eric Flowers on the side on Brandon Graham. And they do swap, by the way. You saw Graham rush against Doug Free, the Cowboys' right tackle, last week a little bit. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on those two guys because Jim Schwartz does not blitz a ton. He will bring the heat. He brought it more last week against Dallas. But in general, he's not a blitz-heavy scheme guy.
He
wants to get there with his front four. And like I said, the Eagles are third in the league in sacks. They haven't had to blitz to get those sacks. So the Giants' tackles are going to be tested this week, and they're going to have to step up and play and do a good job.
Protect.
Because, you know, Barwin, Graham, and then how's Eli going to step up in the pocket when he's got that monster Fletcher Cox coming in off the three technique?
Yep.
So that the play of the Giants' offensive line in terms of pass protection is going to be huge in this game, and they're going to be tested.
Yep, and if the, I feel like if the Giants stay to what they've been doing and just short passes and, you know, not a lot of deep drops, the Giants can be effective. They've got to keep those guys off of Eli, because if Eli has to start getting with those happy feet, then he starts throwing errant footballs, and the turnovers start, and then it just goes downhill from there.
Let's go to Scott in Florida. He's up next. Scott, you've been holding the longest. How are you, pal?
Hi, Scott.
Thanks, guys. By the way, I was on hold for like 20, 25 minutes, and when you said that you didn't have any callers, I hung up and called back in, so your call guys need to get on that.
Come on, anyway, call guys. we only have one call guy, by the way, just one, not plural. There's only one of those guys.
All right. I understand, and I appreciate that being on. Hey, the premise of my call is that this was a totally winnable division this year, and Eli is in the backside of his career, those two things. That being said, I don't see them winning any more than three or four games out of the remaining nine.
Why is that?
This, and it's one reason and one reason only. It's the blocking on the offense. And it's been talked about a lot. I understand that. I don't understand why fans still call in. Your guy Len called in a couple days ago and said, oh, they got to get a better pass rush. The defense has already won two football games for them this year out of the four.
Yep, that's true.
The defense is not the problem.
No, it is not. I agree.
They needed an offensive tackle. And we never realized how badly we missed Daniel Fells. They have not addressed that. Larry Donnell is not a starting quality tight end. He's a nice weapon to have in short yardage. He's a big body. He can box guys out and catch a pass, third and five, first and goal to goal at the seven. But he's not a starting quality. The only hope this team has for the second half is putting Adams in with Ty. I like Ty's upside. He's really not a tight end, though. He's really an H-back. And let's just hope that Adams can spread the field a little bit because he's a much more fluid athlete than Donnell.
Right.
But I'm just not adding. I would have given a second round pick and players. We could have traded a package. You've got three young defensive ends behind the starters that are quality. You could have given up one of those guys and a Bobby Hart and a second or third round pick for a quality offensive tackle. That would be a game changer
Scott,
for this team.
Scott, I want to say one thing about one thing you just mentioned. You said how you have three quality defensive ends behind the two starters.
Where are the other guys?
No, if they were so good in that top quality, how come JPP and Olivier Vernon are playing 90% of the snaps?
Well, I'm just saying a team like Cleveland, let's just talk about Cleveland and their left tackle, or even their right tackle for that matter. Wouldn't they have wanted a Romeo Aguara and a third-round pick and a Bobby Hart? So my point is they're looking for young players. Hart and Aguara are not bad players at all. They wouldn't say, yeah, we'll take those two guys in a second- or third-round pick and give up an older player. That's what we needed. Jerry Reese needed to focus in on that. Major mistake. We're going to be lucky to win three games. We're going to win Chicago, Cleveland, and Detroit.
Hey, wait, well, you know, in fairness, look – Cincinnati's a very winnable game. They are not the team they used to be.
Chicago.
Their defense – well, he said Chicago. He said Detroit. And, look, the Giants were a play or two away from beating Washington when they played them here at home. So I think that's a game they can win. And let's see how they play against Philadelphia before we mark that one down as a loss too.
I'm not optimistic, guys.
I'm sorry.
We needed help. We needed either a Pro Bowl tight end or an offensive tackle. Jerry didn't get us that. I don't see how they make that up.
All right, Scott. Appreciate the call, my friend. Good to hear from you. You got nothing?
No, I have not.
201-939-4513.
I mean, and he even said we want to beat a dead horse about the running backs. We beat a dead horse about the offensive line and the tight end. The fact of the matter is that this is the team. This is the team. The trade deadline is over.
You can't go
There's
back.
Nothing.
You can't
this
go back.
Is it.
You can't go back in time and change the roster.
It's not talk about what we could have, should have, and would have done. Wasn't done. The upper management, they do what they do, and you know that's what they do. And we talk about what they do, and that's it. We can't speculate. The bottom line is those guys have to play better. They got to play better. Larry Dinella has to block better, catch the football better.
Hold
on to the ball, you know, and be a little bit more intelligent in situational football. When you're trying to get a first down, you don't stop and then try to go. You get the first down, and you know these are things. This is just football stuff. It's not about making trades. It's about getting the guys to play better.
I think that's a great new motto for the show. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Football stuff.
That's perfect. It's football stuff. Here, 12 o'clock every day.
201-939-4513. More football stuff with LaVon down in Atlanta. LaVon, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
You got some football stuff for us?
I got a few football stuff for you guys. I've been wanting to call all week, but I work at night, and it's so hard to wake up sometimes to catch the show live.
Well, you got the best day of the week.
Yeah, I just want to say, I think the reason why you weren't getting any calls, I've been trying to call myself, but the number on the website is backwards. I think it's 4153 instead of the 4513. And then when Lance called it out, I called the right number and I got in. But
all right, I'll have to check that out.
That would be John.
Other than that, I wanted to comment really quickly
on
what
yesterday.
Scott just said and what I think Charlie has been singing about. I know the trade deadline is over. I'll make this really quickly. I don't think you trade a second round. I know I wouldn't trade a second round pick for Joe Thomas, even if that's all it took to get him, because our last three second round picks have been Landon Collins, well, not in this order, but Collins, Shepard, and Richburg. And all three of those guys are young, quality starter, Pro Bowl potential talents.
That's a good point.
And if you believe you know what you're doing as a GM and your scouts know what they're doing, you think you're going to hit on that second-round pick when it comes around. And why would you trade Landon Collins straight up today for Joe Thomas?
No.
I would not. I wouldn't trade Shepard for him, and I wouldn't even trade Richburg. Last year, Richburg was considered one of the best centers in football.
That's a good way to look at it.
He almost made the Pro Bowl. People forget that. People forget a lot of things. So I just wanted to put that out there. Another caller also said, why didn't we get Jamie Collins? That's ridiculous. Bill Belichick wasn't sending Jamie Collins anywhere except Siberia. He did that. He wasn't going to send him to a good team, so possibly he sees him later on in the playoffs. Let's see. I mean, you got to be – these guys want to keep their jobs. This is a business. Everybody wants to win, not lose.
So Cleveland is Siberia now. Okay.
No. Yeah. 0-8. It's about as close as you can get.
It is. It's pretty close. I wanted to say the Philly game reminds me of the Washington game earlier this year. We had a chance to throw some dirt on the Redskins, and we failed to do it. We gave that game away. They would have been 0-3. I think that would have changed the whole season. They went on to win four straight. Philly's coming in here. They haven't won a game in a division. They're 0-2. They've lost two in a row. They're going to be desperate. The Giants got to come out sharp and desperate themselves, not make another mistake and let another team off the ground. I want to see us win a big game, put ourselves in a position of strength, not in a position where we got to chase and worry. And I think we're going to easily – I hope we win three out of the next three, but I think we're going to win two out of the next three. And this is one of the games I want us to win, even though it's not really a must-win for us, and that worries me about this game. And I think I have something else, but I can't really remember what it was. It
well, good.
With
LaVon,
that
means you have an excuse
it,
to call us back, okay?
That was
Enjoy.
A good call. It's a good call.
Perfect.
And made a lot of good points, and I agree with you on all of them.
By the way, he said he was right. Apparently the number was wrong on the homepage. Excellent job changing that. Well done. I got to go yell at our internet people now.
yell at him, scream, throw paper
at him. This is unacceptable.
How can you do this to our football stuff show?
You know, given the numbers been right for the last 6 years, I think one wrong number, I think we can give him a pass.
Yeah, right. How about it? Yeah,
I think we can give him a pass.
I was getting a little worried, though, when there was only just one call up there. And obviously, Lynn, he knows the number by heart.
Yeah, obviously. So I think it's in his speed dial.
He doesn't need the internet to look it up.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jamie in Utah on line number 3. Jamie, what's going on?
Hey guys, I appreciate you guys taking my call. I've been listening for quite a while. I never get a chance to call in though because I usually listen on the archive. So
thanks, Jamie, appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I want to talk. I want to say New York fans drive me crazy. in the sense that we can be having a good game, having a good season, and. I've watched with in-laws who've been fans forever. I'm married into a New York family and became a diehard fan. And it seems like you go down by a touchdown, and in a lot of these minds, the game's over. And I feel like that's what's happened this season. I want to call out the caller before mentioned the Washington game and how it potentially changed their season. I think it did for us too. And that doesn't mean that our season's over. I just think that that was a winnable game. We made mental errors, stupid penalties, and had we won that game, I think that one of the next two, either Minnesota or Green Bay, would have been winnable games for us. But what it brought to us was the negative media attention that this team's not known for. We're known to keep our nose clean, respectively, and try to stay out of the limelight. With the loss in that game and Odell's momentary outburst, that drew all the questions of what's wrong with Odell and what's wrong with Eli, and it just started this media frenzy that I think was a little undeserved, and it really got to the players who aren't used to this. Not used to such the negative the outlook on the team, and I think that played a part, but, it's been said several times over this show over time that winning solves everything. And
yep.
Sure enough, we go and win two straight. And I haven't heard anything about the negative Odell Beckham Jr. or anything like that. And I think that's going to correct this season. There's a lot of attention on how awful our offensive line is, but there's not enough recognition by the New York fans that we are going up against teams. This year, they also have awful offensive lines. It's talked about on a week-by-week basis, but we don't give it enough attention that, we can rely on our defense in some games to help us get more opportunities. And it was mentioned before the season started that it will be a process that we have to allow this defense to gel and that there's a lot of new faces here. We got to give them time to get better and get better together. And that's starting to come to fruition. It's starting to happen. We're seeing these guys play better together. I think that the two performances that came right before the bye are crucial. The bye came at a perfect time, and this is a good game to come out against Philly and get a division win that will throw us, forward and change our season in a positive way. I think that a win here is very possible. In my opinion, I'm a hopeful optimistic. I think it's very probable that we get a win here, and I think that is going to propel our season. And I would disagree with the caller before. I think we can go 5-5 in the next 5, and I think that the 3 home games are winnable games. I think that obviously Cleveland is a winnable game, but don't want to discount them because, any given Sunday. And then from there, we've got momentum on our side, and let's see where we can go with it. But we don't have to give up on this team this year because of offensive line struggles. We have other pieces that can be implemented. If the coaching staff feels there's a deficiency, they can obviously make the changes, but they haven't made the changes because we have the personnel in place that can do the job. We've just got to give them time to find that cohesiveness again and just let them win the game.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate the call. And that's the difference between a Giant fan from Utah and a Giant fan from New Jersey and New York. Yeah. Trust me, as a native New Yorker, there's nothing negative to New Yorkers
or New Jerseyans.
It's just the way it is.
It's just how it is. And really, when you look at what the Giants defense did against the Rams, I mean, they put up their best game. They had 4 takeaways, 3 sacks. This team, the way that Landon Collins is playing, this team is, I think, defensively, they're going to keep the they're going to keep the Giants in the game. And it's not the offense. I mean, it's not the defense like we just talked about a little bit. It's the offense that the problem is. It's the defense is doing well. They're improved on what they were last year. Yeah, the sacks could be up, but you know what? Those aren't always the numbers that we seem to look at those numbers, but you know, the pressures and things like that. But I like the way that the defense is now. It's taking the ball away. I mean, that was a problem at the beginning of the season, and they do come in bunches. It seems that way. So maybe this week it can continue if they can get in Carson Wentz's face and start forcing him. He's a smart guy now. Even though he's a rookie, he's a smart player. He's going to eliminate a lot of the mistakes. But if you can get in his face and try to disguise some coverages on him, I think that they can get the ball from him.
What I like to do, Jeff, is separate these final nine games into the months in which they're played. So you got the November games and the December games. So there are five December games this year. That is Pittsburgh, Detroit, and the three division games. Let's push that aside for now. Let's look at November.
Right.
So the next four games, the Giants have three straight at home, Philly, Cincy, Chicago, and then at Cleveland. Those are the four games in November. For me to feel comfortable and confident about making the playoffs, I would like to win three out of those four games.
I agree.
Including a win against Philly. Because if I win three out of four, but my losses against Philly,
it's more
I don't
impactful.
Feel quite
yeah.
as good about it.
I'm right on pace with you there. Absolutely. Has to be three out of four, and it has to be one of them. Those wins have to be against Philadelphia. Because you do not want to fall in the division, because if the Cowboys continue to do what they're doing, you know, it's going to be hard to win the division. You're going to have to get that wild card.
I think is it fair to say to win this division, you're going to have to get to 11?
Well, it's considered six and one, seven, they got nine. Yeah. Yeah.
To feel confident about winning the division,
That's the word. Confident.
Can you possibly do it at 10 with a tie break? Maybe. But I think if you want to feel good about it, I think you got to get to 11.
I think the number's going to be 10 because I still feel that Dallas is going to regress a little bit.
That's fair.
Okay. But confident, 11, no question.
If you want to get to 11, right now the Giants are at 4-3. That means 7-2 the rest of the way, which means you cannot do worse than 3-1 in your next four games.
Correct. I mean, really, at the end of the season, and you just didn't want to get into December, those three division games in December of those five games that are in December are going to be huge.
Absolutely. And, of course, a game against Detroit, who might be in contention with you for the wild card spot, could be
in the
NFC, tiebreaker
yeah.
game, too.
Yeah, because the Giants have already lost to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They beat New Orleans.
They lost to Green Bay.
They lost to Green Bay. So, you know, the conference record, obviously, a tiebreaker does matter. So, yeah.
Yeah, winning those AFC games not quite as impactful as winning those games
yeah.
in conference.
But as we know, the division games, they count twice, really. I mean, they're huge games. And this is a big one for the Giants. It's going to be a good game. I think they win.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the hat.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
Charlie in Portland, Maine. How are you, Chuckles?
I am happy.
Hi, guys.
Happy?
How y'all doing?
I don't think Charlie's very happy today, though. That's my guess.
Hey, I don't think so. Hey, I had a really good question.
Yeah.
I finally got to talk to David Deal. So when Lance was on the show just a day or two ago, the question I asked him, if the Giants got a Pro Bowl left tackle like Joe Thomas, how would it have changed our O-line and our offense?
And what he said?
Listen to his reply. What he said was it would change everything. Putting a Pro Bowl tackle on the left side would allow Eli, for one, to feel confident, and for the other, we wouldn't need to chip block on that side. And he also said we could move Flowers to where he should be playing. His best position is right tackle, which everyone agrees with except for Jerry Reese and McAdoo. And he said it would totally change everything. We would be able to run the ball. We'd be able to do schemes that we can't do now. Just having one Pro Bowl tackle on this offensive line.
What do we do now?
What do we do now? We're going to lose. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to lose this game to Philly because Hart and Flowers is going to be a turnstile with these two guys, Graham and Baldwin. These guys are quick, fast guys, and they're going to go right by them. Like they won't even know where they are. And Eli is going to be running for his life the whole game.
Now, Charlie, remember, we said the same thing before the Giants played the Vikings, and the offensive line actually held up pretty well against Minnesota in pass protection.
And we couldn't run the ball, and we lost the game.
Well, that's
so
true.
There you go. There you go.
I had to give you something positive.
Draws and screens.
The best thing you guys said was vitamin B shots. But that's what you're going to have to give the offensive line, about 2,000 grams of vitamin B before they get on the field, because that's the only way they're going to have a hope of a chance to go up against this Philadelphia defense, front seven. And it blows my mind how we cannot upgrade this O-line when, look, what I heard was it was a third-round conditional draft pick for Joe Thomas.
Where'd you hear that, Charlie?
Just from from beat writers, guys who went behind the scenes and found out, and what Jerry Reese offered them was a 5. And he could have got a 3 for Joe Thomas. And to me, that is insane not to grab that. But whatever, we're stuck with. That's the thing is, you know, you keep saying these guys have got to play better. Don't you understand after 7 games, these guys can't play better? That is the problem. They can't play better than they are. And that's the problem with this O-line. And that's going to be our problem the whole season. Our defense is playing well, but our offensive line is our weakness, our Achilles heel, which I've been talking about for over a year. We didn't address it. And it's sad, and it's really sad because it could have been addressed, and it could have been taken care of, and it hasn't been, and it's really sad. And I'm totally disappointed. We had an opportunity, and we let it go by. But we're not going to win this Philly game, but we might win a few more after that. And I don't know. I think the season's over, to tell you the truth. I hate to say it.
Charlie, I hate this stat, and when people give it to me, I yell at them, but I'm going to give it to you now anyway. It's hard for me to say the season is over when, if the playoffs started today, the Giants would be in the playoffs. Now, does that mean that they're going to be in the playoffs at the end of the year? Absolutely not, because a million things can change between now and then. But how can you say the season's over when right now the Giants are a playoff team?
Because who we were coming up against. We're playing Philly twice. We got to play Washington again. We got to play Dallas again. We got to play Detroit. We got to play Pittsburgh, and we got to do this with no old line. So you tell me how we're going to do that when we can't run the ball? It's ridiculous. We're going to be a one-dimensional team. Our defense is going to be on the field 90% of the time. They're finally going to break down here and there because of that, and that's why. And I don't think McAdoo is going to change anything up. Not much. He just will do, you know, tweaks things here and there, and that will be it. Because he's pretty much like, I'm staying with what our scheme is and who we have and what we got, and I think that's good. And Jerry Reese said our tight ends are fine. They're good. We got what we got, and I think they can step up. That's all I've been hearing. They got to step up. They got to play better. We haven't, and they can't. They've shown us they can't, and that is the problem. So, I hate to... Hey, one thing, Jeff, how was your vacation? I'll just leave on a light note.
My vacation was great. It was good.
Good.
Yep, it was all good. And I didn't play golf, by the way, Charlie.
Really?
I didn't have time to play golf. We were for 2 days. We were from, you know, in the morning to the evening doing stuff. So it was great.
Oh, good. That's good.
I wish I would have been playing golf.
Thank you, Charlie.
I wish you were playing golf. Hey, guys, thanks. Have a great weekend. And,
yep, Charlie. Hang in there, buddy.
Everyone's going to be wishing we had Joe Thomas after this weekend.
Go take your depression pills. I'm sure you got them there close by. So you'll be okay. Call us next week.
All right, David in North Carolina wants to talk O-line too, so I figure I'll go back-to-back with him and Charlie. David, wrap us up on the phones today, huh?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think what people like me and Charlie are feeling is, I mean, it almost feels like, Groundhog Day. You know, Bill Murray was able to celebrate with the Cubs win. And, I mean, I think to that movie, because to me, it seems like we've been talking about this O-line since 2011 after that Super Bowl. And I look back. And I think, you know what, outside of Justin Pugh, I mean, David Voss wasn't very good.
Richburg's good.
I thought he played well last year. Kevin Booth was a kind of a swing, utility player. David Gill was on the last leg of his career. I would take almost every one of those guys over this group. How long does it take to build a competent O-line? And I keep hearing, you know, well, they played good against Minnesota. Well, I mean, Jeff could hold a block.
No, easy.
Well, you know, David, David, real quick, I want to say one more thing real quick, because I sometimes think people overlook how well he's played this year. John Jerry's actually had a very good year at right guard. He hasn't given up a quarterback hit or a sack. One of our guys on Twitter, I think it was Justin Marr, had that tweet out earlier today. And John Jerry is playing pretty darn well this year. I think when you look at the issues, you're looking at the tackles more than anything else.
Well, and I agree, but don't you feel like it's hard to really get an idea of how good these guys can pass protect? I keep hearing that stat of hurries and pressures. Well, we're getting the ball out so quick. I mean, literally right now, this offense
that's fair.
Has about four routes.
That's fair.
Let me give them to you. A swing pass, a curl, a slant, and a drag, because heaven forbid Eli is able to stay in there for a five-step drop and actually throw a post. I mean, think about this for a second. Outside of the Ravens, big plays by Odell Beckham, you've got the second half of Washington game, the whole, heck, first half and going into the third quarter of the Raven game, the Rams game, where this offense just looks like it's hard to watch. It really is hard to watch. So that's why you get the skepticism from people like me and Charlie and the gentleman from Florida, where it's just hard to see how we win a game against a quality team. Now, granted, hey, we're the only notch on Dallas's belt as far as a loss. And, my goodness, that's the first decent team we've beat, and I can't tell you how long. So we've got that, but that was the first game of the year, so you're going to have skeptics throw that in our face that, you know, it was the rookie's first game, et cetera, et cetera. So, to me, this game is just so big because, as a Giants fan, I just want to see this team make a statement. I mean, listen, we don't have to go 10-6 this year. We don't have to go 11-5 this year. I would just like to see this team go in the right direction and show that offensive line is starting to gel with this young nucleus. And I'm starting to wonder, you know, is Flowers, you know, is it a wasted pick? Richburg, up and down. Pugh, I think, you know, he solidified himself, obviously, as a solid guard. But there again, we tried to keep forcing him at tackle like we're doing with Flowers at left tackle. Oh, Jerry Reese, oh, he's a right tackle. And every pundit was saying, no, we think Justin Pugh's probably better at guard. Well, lo and behold, he was. Same thing with Eric Flowers. So, long story short, I'm dying for a win because I would love to see the Giants beat just a decent team. I don't think Philly's a great team. I think they're a decent team. I'd like to be able to say the Giants are a decent team, heading in the right direction, instead of like Charlie and even myself seem to think we're looking at another 5-6 win, 7-win season at best. And then we're going into the next off season with the same questions of what are we going to do with the offensive line? You know, what are we getting?
I hear you, David. We got to run, pal.
But listen, the Giants are two games away from how many games they won last year, okay? And if talk about, you know, building a team and what they're doing, they went out there and had the worst defense in the league. They, you know, to go out and spend money, it's they improved the defense, okay? They were a top 10 offense last year, so coming into this season, they figured if we can improve our defense and if the offense plays how they did last year, we can start to build a nice nucleus of a football team here. Obviously, the Giants offense has regressed. The numbers don't lie, and that, you know, if there's any team that will make corrections at the end of the year, it's going to be the Giants. They're going to evaluate on what's going on and move on. But you're not going to do it in the middle of the season, people. There's not many big trades in the National Football League like baseball and basketball and things like that. It just doesn't happen. And I understand what people are saying about why didn't they do it in the offseason. Because of what I just told you. They spent the money on the defense. They needed to improve the defense. They were confident in their offense from last year. They went out and got a receiver. We're not complaining about Shepard. They went out and got him. You know, so I think that's kind of where we're at. Right now, and I keep beating a dead horse saying that the players have to play better. I'm telling you right now that's what they're getting told in these meetings. And, you know, and you look at the depth of this team. What are they doing? You might start to see more of – Perkins. You might see some of the young guys coming into the lineup trying to say, okay, listen, I'm going to try to take one of these veteran jobs because what they're doing, they're not doing very well. We got to make a change in some of these positions.
You ready to play your game, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, my game. Let's go.
Woo! It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegels?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegels with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmelk.
Here we go.
Are you going to make a mockery of my memory today?
Every week. All right, so I got two names for you.
Can I get an update on the?
You are 4-6, but you're 0 for your last 4.
No, I don't care about that. It's all about the total.
So you are reflecting the Giants' success against the Eagles. Okay. 0 for your last 4. Okay, here we go. Joe Schobert, did you ever play with Joe Schobert, also known as Jobert or Joe the Show? Did you ever play with Joe Schobert?
This is going to be really bad if I say that I didn't, because that's a bad name, Joe Schobert. No way.
You did not play with Joe Schobert. Correct. Joe Schobert was drafted by the Cleveland Browns in 2016 out of Wisconsin.
Yes. I'm on a one-game winning streak.
All right. 5-6. And I got a second one for you. I got a bonus. All right. So here we go. We're going to go.
Poor Joe Schobert.
You're 5-6. Here we go. Number two. Did you play with Patrick Egu? Patrick Egu.
Egu?
E-G-U. Egu.
You know what? It's come to the point now where I'm visualizing what E-G-U looks like on the back of somebody's jersey. I'm going to say no. I don't think I've ever had an Egu.
You played with Patrick
Egu. I did not play with him.
In 1989 with the New England Patriots.
He played
in seven games.
With the Patriots.
Now, here's the worst part. He played special teams. Okay, he had two kick returns for 26 yards, and he had a fumble recovery on coverage teams.
Oh, how could I not forget?
He made a play on your own special teams. Come on, Fiegels.
And how many? What was his career?
Oh, 1 year. That was it.
This is how we keep it even. Okay. Oh, wow.
And the winning streak is over. That lasted all of 35 seconds.
Honestly, Egu. No way. 1989, by the way. John, that's how he has to get me. Go way back there.
Whoa, time out a second. I got you 2 in a row on Giant teammates from 2009.
Well, you did. You're right. And as the monologue said, you can make a mockery of my memory. It's a lot of rosters, a lot of people, but it's a fun game.
Patrick Egu was a running back, by the way. 5'11", 205.
Another running back.
He did have 3 carries for 20 yards and a touchdown in 1989, and he did have a fumble recovery. I'm guessing that was on special teams, maybe, but he did have 2 kick returns. See, I thought you might get it because he did kick return, and that's why I thought you might remember him.
No, I don't. Sorry, Patrick.
But Joe Schobert you did not play with. Because he was just drafted this year out of Wisconsin.
Rick Soibert, I did, but not Joe Schobert. No. Okay. All right. Well, that's all right. I'm within striking distance to get back at 500.
Yeah, so. You're one under.
What am I? 5-7.
You're five and seven now. Yes. Nice. Well, you're 2 under.
I started off strong. I was 4-2.
I know.
Which is pretty damn good.
Here's the thing now. I feel like you're so mental about it where you're
I am. You're getting me.
Rather than actually trying to remember if you play with the guy, you're trying to judge my mood and my attitude and
I
decide whether or not I'm trying to screw you.
Today I did. When you came with the first name, I'm like, okay, I know that one. Now, what is he going to do with the second one?
So this is as much of a psychological test for you evaluating
me
as anything else.
Honestly, I really was trying to visualize the name on the back of a jersey.
Because it is a fairly unique name. Another reason I thought you might remember him, because it's a fairly unique name. It's not like, did you play with Barry Jones?
Yeah. Egu. Wow. I still don't remember
him. Let's see if I can bring up a picture and see if you recognize the picture. Hold on. Hold on, let me see if they might even have a picture of this guy online. Let's see.
That was a long time ago.
Images. Let's see. Patrick. Oh, here we go. Number 33 on the Patriots. Do you recognize that fellow?
Nope.
There you go.
No way.
Yeah, he's doing a little
dance. I recognize
the
uniform.
Yeah, well, I would hope you do that. That, by the way, is still my favorite Patriot uniform.
It is a great uniform. With Minuteman.
With the Minuteman snapping the football and the red jersey and the white helmet. Yeah. That is still my favorite Patriot jersey. I love that jersey.
I was in the grocery store a few weeks ago, and there was a Patriot hat that had the Minuteman. I And I told the guys, that, I like that hat. It's pretty sweet.
And then he said, oh, you're Jeff Eagles.
No. I said to him, you didn't happen to play for the Patriots, did you? Do I know you?
That's funny. All right, Beegs, good times.
All right, we'll see you guys this weekend. Or
and, of course, if you want to hear more of Jeff Fiegel's musings, you can tune in to Coors Light Giants Game Day on WFAN. It starts at 11:30. If you're going to the game, stop by MetLife Central. We'll be
there from
11:30 to 1 or so, answering some questions. We might have a couple giveaways this week. I have some Hess Toy trucks
to give away. The new truck is coming
out. So I have a couple Hess Toy trucks to give away in the pregame show.
Isn't it a dragster?
It is a truck with the dragster that goes inside the truck.
I see.
So it kind of comes out of the truck like the old Spy Hunter arcade game.
Sweet.
Make sure you check it out. We'll be at MetLife Center outside the stadium. Or, of course, listen on WFAN 101.9 FM or 660 AM. Myself, Fiegels, Lance Meadow, and Pauly Dots, the crazy man, will be here. And if you don't think Pauly Dots is going to be out of his mind,
he's gonna be intense
and excited, he is going to be impossible to deal with. Folks, I know it's entertaining for you, but when you have to work with the man and he acts that way, it can just be
frustrating,
very hard to take. So,
and he's coming off a bye.
Yeah, so he's desperate for a game as it is, and division game against the Eagles and the enormity of this game.
And it gives him one more week to research.
He's going to
come
be
with
so
stupid stuff. And
wow, stupid stuff.
Yeah,
that's a little strong.
No, some of it is dumb. Some of it is dumb.
I want to make sure that Tito doesn't hear this. I was just teasing, man.
Some of it's dumb. Some of it is very good. But I'm going to tell you, some of the stuff I say is pretty dumb, too.
Well,
so
yeah.
Don't worry
about
it.
I think a lot of the stuff all of us say are pretty, is pretty dumb. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you on Sunday. Have a good weekend on Giants.com. Take it easy.